The passage that we've read together tonight clearly speaks of heaven and it speaks of hell. And that is just a subject that I would like to bring before us tonight. The gospel, as we've already mentioned, is good news. The good news of God's salvation. And it is a happy news. Our brother Victor mentioned how that most of the news that we hear of is sad news, and not only sad news, but dramatizing news so that people can get gripped in and listen and turned on their sets, etc. The good news that we have from God's word, it is good news, it's everlasting news. It is news that if you trust and obey and accept it, well, you will go to heaven to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about the news, I was watching a news item on one occasion, and perhaps some of you may have done the same. The interesting feud that has been going on between our Prime Minister and one of Australia's richest men, Mr. Kerry Packer. And they, of course, have been exchanging words. But the little bit that I got onto was when the interviewer spoke to Mr. Packer and spoke to him about the occasion or the time when he fell off his horse and was supposed to have been, well, his heart stopped for about 10 minutes or so, I think. And the interviewer said to him, "Well, what did you learn from that experience? What can you tell us?" And Mr. Packer replied, he said, "Well, I can tell you, the good news is that there is no devil. And the bad news is there is no heaven." And, of course, millions of people must have heard that. And I thought, well, there you go, one of the richest men in Australia. And that's what he thinks. And of course, you know, when people, especially influential people, speak like that, sometimes we find that people in the world, ordinary people, take note. And they say, "Oh, well, if he says that, there must be something in what he says." And I find that maybe sometimes people may only do that because they are seeking a way out. Personally, I feel most of the people that I've spoken to, whether they be atheists or what, but deep down in their hearts, they know that there is a God. They just cannot deny it because of the beauty around us, the creation of God. And there are many other things that they just cannot deny, especially the things that scientists are coming up with from day to day and the discoveries that they are making. But you see, they tend to hide behind these excuses so that they do not get pinned down as regards to heaven and hell and their sin and God's salvation. Well, I'm not sure about Mr. Packer, but when he said the bad news is that there is no heaven, well, he's been thinking about heaven, hasn't he? I think he has. And I'm not so sure that he entirely believes what he says. But here we have an incident that we've read about the rich man and Lazarus. Our Lord Jesus Christ had such a love for the dying souls of men and women. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he tried every way to make things simple, so that men and women could understand, so that they could accept this message of salvation. And you know, if you believe tonight, simply, very simply, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your sins, and ask him to come into your heart, he will save you there and then. You know who believed that? Sincerely was Jonah the prophet, didn't he? Because we find that when God said to Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to go and preach to those people. Their wickedness has come up before me, and I want you to go and preach to them and tell them Tell them about my love. Tell them about a way of escape. And what happened? Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to take that message. And he ran away. And eventually we find how that God again delivered Jonah, and Jonah ended up in Nineveh and preached the message of the gospel to those people, and they believed. And then again Jonah lapsed into a sad situation again, where he felt a bit sorry for himself. And the whole reason was, of course, that Jonah, for some reason or other, he had something against those people of Nineveh. And he said, no, I don't want to go to Nineveh, because I know that if I bring your word to the people of Nineveh, they are going to repent and you are going to forgive them. You are a loving God. Jonah knew the nature of God. He knew the love of God. And he knew that if he went to Nineveh and preached deliverance unto them, that God would forgive them of their sins. And that's exactly what did happen, wasn't it? And Jonah, of course, knew this. God is a loving God. And we find that if we go back to chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ, we find there that in verse 1 of chapter 15 it says, then drew near unto him all the tax collectors and sinners to hear him. That verse is very important, dear friends, tonight, because if you have come tonight with the object of hearing what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to you from his word, not so much my word, but the words from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, if you have come tonight to hear what he has to say to you, and all about his love, and the message of salvation, well then I'm sure that you will receive a blessing tonight. If you have come tonight, perhaps just because someone asked you to come, and well, you're not going to listen, you're just going to sit there, maybe you won't hear anything. But I beg of you tonight that seeing you are here, that you may take note of the words that our Lord Jesus Christ has written in the Bible about his love for you. And that like these people, the tax collectors and the sinners, they came to hear him. And the Lord Jesus Christ right there, he thought, well, I want to make it quite simple to these people. And he told them three parables. He told them the parable of the lost sheep. How that the shepherd went out to look after the one sheep that was lost. And after he told the parable, he said in verse 7, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Do you know that tonight, dear friend? If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, there will be joy in this hall. First of all, I can assure you that the joy will start in your very own heart. And the joy will be in this hall. And the joy will be in the presence of the angels in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them of the woman who lost the coin. And how that she rejoiced. She rejoiced. She said to her neighbors, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then the Lord Jesus Christ told them the parable of the prodigal son, how that this young man, he wanted to leave home, go his own way, until he could go no further. And the Bible says he came to himself, and he said, I will arise and I will go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he plucked up that courage and he got up and he went. And when he got well within view of the house, what happened? His dad was waiting. He was watching every day, like just like we've been seeing before. The Lord Jesus Christ is watching. He's waiting. He's listening. And his dad was there waiting to see when his son was going to arrive. And when he did, what joy there was. And he ran and threw his arms around him. As far as the question is concerned, regarding Mr. Packer's comment that there is no devil, now, Brother Neil read to us some scriptures in Job a few weeks back. And this is one of the verses that we read. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, or the devil, came also amongst them. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it." Now, we haven't got time to refer to all the passages, but if you go through the Bible, you will find that there is mention of the devil right from the word go, and he's a real person. And perhaps he might be whispering in your ear tonight, saying, "Oh well, if you feel the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, not tonight, not tonight." A few of us can speak of that experience when the devil tries to get in between God's message and tries to hinder his voice from getting through. Our situation today, the scene that we have today, is explained to us in Romans chapter 5. Now, I'd just like to refer to three scenes. This is our scene, the scene in hell, and that's the scene in heaven. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, and perhaps we'll just turn to it and read it, "Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And that is our scene today, dear friends, you and I, because of the sin of Adam, which was instigated by Satan himself. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. We all come under that condemnation of Adam. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is the situation in the world today. We are sinners in the sight of God. And if you do go around trying to talk to some people about that, some of them may deny it. If you start talking to people about their sins, they'll say, "Oh no, I may be doing some things wrong, but I'm not a sinner." But the Bible clearly tells us that we are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And all of us have that trademark that we are sinners by nature. If you watch the little infants grow up, and as we've watched our little grandchildren grow up, you can see from that very, very young age, nobody's taught them anything, but they start doing wrong things. And if you say no, they'll keep doing it. And sometimes they even get to that stage where they know they're doing wrong things and they persist in doing it. And so we see that nature, that sinful nature, coming through. But the good news is, of course, tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinful men. We read of this rich man in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ told the people about the parables. But now he's come to a situation where, in fact here, it's a real life situation. There was a certain rich man, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. And the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to bring them to reality now and showing to them that these things happen. The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he had a good life. He lived a good life. He was short of nothing. He had food to eat. And Lazarus laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Now, I want to make a comment here that it doesn't mean that this is the situation as far as all rich men are concerned. If you want some examples of some rich men in the Bible who were good men, who believed in the Lord, what about Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter 3, who came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night? And then we find again after that situation in John's Gospel chapter 7, I'll just read you that verse. He defends our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John chapter 7. We'll read there a verse about Nicodemus. People were trying to condemn our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 47 it says, "Then answered them the Pharisees, Are he also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed." And in verse 50 it says, "Nicodemus said unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth?" And then later, if we look to John's Gospel, chapter 19, we find that Nicodemus was one of the men who assisted in the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you want to look at another rich man, there was Zacchaeus. What about Zacchaeus? He was a rich man, tax collector, tax gatherer. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he went to find that sycamore tree to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens? We read there that he came down and received him joyfully. Likewise also, as far as beggars are concerned, we find that you sometimes find rich beggars. I know on one occasion back in Cape Town, when I was working, there was a man sitting on one of the street corners, and he was in a pitiful sight. And whenever he got up to walk, he couldn't walk, but he ran. He got up and just ran. And I felt quite sorry for this man, until one day I went to the bank. And this man came into the bank, and he hobbled up to the counter. And then he started to unload all the money he had in his pocket. Everything came out. And there, I was astounded. And that was not the only occasion. I saw him quite often after that. I saw him going to the bank, and I came to the conclusion that he was a rich beggar. But you know, dear friends, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here we find this rich man, he was in that situation, and he just thought about himself, no thought for God whatsoever, no thought for Lazarus lying outside his gate. As long as he was happy, had his plate of food every day, and he had all his hosts around him, everything was done, he was happy. Perhaps you might be in that situation today. You might not be very rich, but you're comfortable. And you know, we do find in our city today that there are many people who aren't comfortably off. And if you move around and you visit certain homes and you work among certain people, you find that we do have a lot of poverty and some sad situations. But perhaps tonight you are comfortable, and like this rich man, you say, well, I've really got need of nothing, and you don't have a care perhaps even for maybe those outside, and you're quite happy. But you know something, dear friend, being comfortable, being satisfied without the Lord Jesus Christ will bring you a lot of sadness later on. We find here that the Bible tells us here that this rich man, he died. And how sad to read that this rich man, he died, and he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The beggar also died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And we find that once this rich man realized his situation, of course it was far too late, and then he cried out to Father Abraham and said, "Have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames." And Father Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things." Or, Lazarus suffered the discomfort and the distresses of life. You were in a position where you could call upon all those people that work for you. You could call upon your finances. You could call upon everything. Lazarus had to suffer the discomforts and distresses of life. But Lazarus knew God. He knew God as his Savior. And when Lazarus died, he was taken up into heaven. And of course now this rich man, he became very concerned. And now he wanted someone to be sent to warn his brethren. It was told to him that Lazarus couldn't get to him. Lazarus couldn't cool his tongue with some water, for there is a great gulf fixed. And they who would pass from you here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. And once he realized that situation, that as far as he was concerned, there was no hope whatsoever, he tried then to get the message so that a warning could be sent to the rest of his family. But dear friend, tonight, let's not think of the family tonight. Let's think of each and every one of us individually. The Lord Jesus Christ holds each and every one of us accountable. And if you have not trusted him as your own and personal Savior, if you have not recognized the fact that he died on Calvary's cross for your sin, then, dear friends, you'll be in the same position as this rich man. One day, you will lift up your eyes in hell. They're hard words, but they are words that are, tonight we say lovingly to you, because we want to warn you from that place, and that the only way that you can escape the flames of hell, as the rich man found, is to trust our Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send them to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." The rich man realized the brevity of his situation. The rich man realized that he had, well, it missed out, hadn't he? Because it was on this side of life that he had that opportunity to make that decision to believe and to trust in God. But maybe he was so comfortable, he absolutely never gave it a thought. And perhaps, dear friends, tonight, you may be in that situation, but you are blessed tonight. You are blessed tonight because you are sitting in the gospel hall, Bexley, and you have heard God's word read. You've heard from God's word that you're a sinner. You've heard that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. You've heard tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to save you. And you are in that position tonight where you can avoid that situation of the rich man. by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Let's look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. And we'll see a scene there in hell. Our scene here now is the fact that we are sinners. We have that opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior and have our names recorded in heaven's book of life. But friend, tonight if you do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this will be the scene in hell. In verse 28 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, it tells us, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when he shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out." Dear friends, tonight, isn't it like that scene with the rich man in hell and Lazarus in heaven? And unfortunately, the time has gone by so quickly, that he did not have that opportunity. He had the opportunity, but he didn't take hold of it to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. But you know, I'll take it to the last scene in the Revelation chapter 28. And that is why the gospel is such good news. The gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. And as I read through this portion of scripture, I thought to myself, what a scene. What a scene. We walk around our cities today and we see some sad scenes. We see some terrible situations on television. We see how men treat each other. How they destroy their bodies. How they go about ruining their lives. And some of them do it to gain satisfaction. Some of them do it for enjoyment. Some of them do it so they may have excitement. But they keep finding that they keep doing it and have to keep doing it to keep themselves in a happy state. But you know something, dear friends, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the scene that you will be in one day. Let's read these beautiful verses as we go through. Revelation chapter 21. And John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Listen to verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Dear friends, have you been going through certain situations perhaps in your life and it's brought tears to your eyes and heartache to your heart, sadness in your life, and you've sat down and you've said to yourself, "How can I be delivered from all these things? How can I be delivered from this situation?" Well, you know, there's a chorus which says, "Christ is the answer to our every need. Christ is the answer. He is our friend indeed. Problems of life, your spirit may assail. With Christ my Savior, I shall never fail. For Christ is the answer to my need." And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. You can depend on it, dear friends. You can rely on it. You can trust it. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Isn't that a wonderful scene, dear friend? Which do you prefer? The scene you are in now, the scene in hell, or the coming scene in heaven one day, where God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither any sorrow, nor crying. Dear friends, if you have sorrow in your heart today, or on certain days, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, He'll be with you. Perhaps through trying times and all that. But the main thing is, you can be assured that your name will be recorded in heaven's book of life. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you know that you're going to be with him in heaven one day. Don't be like the rich man. He was comfortable. He was okay. Nothing to worry about. But he started worrying, and when he did, it was too late. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior tonight, and be saved for time and for all eternity. That's the good news of the gospel. Let's just finish off by reading the second part of Romans chapter 5. We read that as by one man sin came into the world, so all have sinned. But we read that beautiful verse again there in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. May the Lord bless his word to you, and we trust that you will consider his call tonight. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling you.